Cause we are living in a chemical world, and I'm just a chemical girl. You know, we are living in a chemical world, and I am just a chemical.
Hello and welcome to Chemical World. I am your host, Mugsy Fay, founder and director of High Rockies Harm Reduction. And I am joined today by the magnificent Kat Hardy. Kat, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you have your own public affairs show here on KDNK. Can you remind me what your show is called and when it airs?
Yes. So my DJ name is Reverend Hardy when I am hosting the current Ritual public affairs show. And that airs the first Wednesday of the month at 4:30 p.m.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you for holding it down here at KDNK and for all you do for our community. So, you know, here on Chemical World, we talk a lot about all things mental health, but the kind of root and the name Chemical World and our theme song and everything comes from the desire to just kind of talk about substances, how they can both hurt and help us. I'm a firm believer in the idea that drugs are medicine when used in the right and generally supervised environment. And so I know you're doing a lot of work in this space, and I thought it would be really cool to kind of gear us back towards the chemical while still really keeping mental health at the forefront of the conversation to have you on and hear more about the work that you're doing.
Thank you so much. And if I'm copying you at all on my show, you know, they say imitation is the greatest, like, compliment.
Yeah, form of flattery.
or form of flattery, that's what it is.
Wouldn't call it copying. I would say like minds, similar vibes.
Okay,
similar
I'll go with that.
Yeah, but for my listeners here on Chemical World who listen on Mondays and may not catch the Wednesday public affairs show, mm-hmm. I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about current Ritual and what you are offering to our communities here in the Valley.
Sure. So the podcast is focused on the nervous system and like maintaining and stewarding a healthy nervous system. So all of the conversations, there's some kind of boil down point that goes back to that. And since mental health and nervous system function are so interrelated, there's a lot of talk around that, as well as consciousness. And so since consciousness is part of this nervous system conversation, the psychedelic scene in Colorado and what's been going on legally and like keeping up with that piece of that developing industry almost in our state has been part of my mission, is covering that to create harm reduction, safety education, and awareness around the system and access and all those pieces, because this is like brand new, but it's ancient in a lot of ways. You know, and we could talk for days probably about that whole piece. But, you know, basically there's been a path of psychedelics were integrated into culture and civilization at one point with eldership and right mm-hmm. and ritual and respect involved. Then it transitioned to illegal and, you know, highly regulated. Then, you know, we see it become legal or decriminalized or legal, you know, access models created. So it's been this back and forth with these psychoactive substances for like at least 2,000 to 3,000 years.
Yeah. And it's a wild trajectory that we have talked a lot about here on Chemical World. And I know there might be some overlap today in what you generally talk about on Current Ritual, but because our conversations are so relevant to each other, I thought it would be really valuable to, yeah, have this kind of super group public affairs Woo-hoo. Episode with the both of us. And I definitely want to talk to you more about kind of what you're seeing right now as plant medicine legality is evolving here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. But before I get into that, I just wanted to also acknowledge, like, I'm a big believer in the biopsychosocial model of treatment when we're talking about mental health specifically, that like, yes, we have these biological bodies, but within those are our minds, and somewhere in there is our consciousness, and mm-hmm. it's also our culture and our environment and the laws. And so there's no, you know, one thing to fix or to work on or whatever. It's all really integrated. And I feel like in your practices, you do an excellent job of really addressing all of those things. And it's like, if we're not, you know, addressing the mind, the spirit, and the body all at once, we can't really seek to heal anything, right?
Yeah. And so to your point, you know, holistic healthcare systems are that are sensitive to each individual, that are individualized care, that are flexible, and take into consideration that there's no one size fits all in healing. Mm-hmm. There's no magical fix.
Right.
You know, there's no external savior. These should be tools and strategies that support you in your management of your day-to-day life. And that is a holistic approach that when I was in Western medicine for quite some time, you know, I was missing, which is why I left, you know, Western medicine and kind of charted my own course and started Current Ritual, and which Current Ritual is a, it means a lot of different things, but one of them is like, what are you presently doing? What is your current ritual?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Because that is the medicine, is the repetition and consistency and daily habits and self-care and mindfulness practices and relational practices and the kind of relationships you have and the quality of them, whether it's with people or animals or your food or your community or substances. So this is all the holistic care that, you know, I provide to our community is a lot about relationships. And our relationship to psychedelic, to your point, what you said earlier, is changing rapidly right now. And that brings me back to, like, we have access in Colorado now, but it's not legalized. Like, psychedelics aren't legalized in Colorado, but they are decriminalized, which means they're like the lowest priority in law enforcement.
Right.
And arrests and legal action around them is like not funded, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, there's the community model, where you're able to grow, possess, and ingest, you know, privately of certain substances. And it includes like mushrooms and DMT, plant-based. And it's just natural substances. So it doesn't allow for synthetic substances in the decriminalization. And then the legal access model in Colorado that's through DORA that was developed, it, you know, requires licenses and license at the growing level, at the facilitator level. There's different levels of facilitator licensing. Some are just for like community or, you know, expansion with like healthy people. And then there's like medical licenses, you know, so it's this whole system that was created. And in that model, you're required to have one preparatory session, one medicine session, which is pretty much strictly a macro dose, which is, for those who don't know, it's a large dose that makes you have a large psychedelic hallucinating tripping experience. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of access that I know, or those that are operating with lower dose therapy. So
interesting,
which is a whole conversation, and the dosing is of concern of mine. And then there's one integration session. So it's pretty short. And in, you know, regular medical care, holistic care is best. And I would definitely say when you're dealing with consciousness, holistic care is highly necessary. And if not given, could lead to harm, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
And so this legal model is pretty bare bones, with one session, a huge dose of psychedelics that destabilizes your brain for sometimes up to 4 to 12 weeks, and then one integration session. So, you know, this, for me, it's always been, this should be like a longitudinal thing where we have 3 months of preparation. We have all these check-in points. We have standardized assessments. We look at it, if people are prepared. And then we have like 3 months of integration where we're checking, is it integrating well? Are they stable? Because you can be re-traumatized when you use these large, powerful molecules, which I should say, in all like the clinical trials, they're using molecules over like whole fruiting body mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Which is a whole nother thing of relationships we could get into. Because like this legal model is giving you this like manufactured molecule. You're not like getting mushrooms that were grown from mycelium.
Which is really interesting, because the legality is around natural
but
plants.
Then they're doing that. I know, this situation is bananas.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, and I wanted to just say too, like, I am a huge advocate, as anyone who's a regular listener of the show knows, of really whatever, by any means necessary, right?
Right.
Like, whatever it takes you to get there. And at the same time, I'm a firm believer that nothing is going to be beneficial if it's not integrated and holistic guided care, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is true from, you know, we have evidence that says that's true for the vast majority of antidepressants. Mm-hmm. And while, you know, the legality of plant medicine is still kind of this ethereal thing, as we're seeing more ketamine, psilocybin, MDMA treatment, I think the same absolutely holds true. And so I'm curious, that model is really interesting. And I'm specifically wondering, and you may or may not have an answer for this, but so you have that intro session, which I'll also say, and again, this is for psychiatric medicine, plant medicine, whatever, like how can somebody really give you something after talking to you for 60 minutes? You know, like they don't really know the whole you. And so that's a challenge already to have just one meeting, right? And then they're having that psychedelic experience and then that integration. So how, like, what is the timing in between the psychedelic treatment and the integration meeting?
I'm not sure what the legal model is on that, but I feel like it's pretty close.
Okay. Yeah.
Like within a week, you know, it's pretty short range on both ends of the journey. But yeah.
Well, I'm curious, like, how quickly do you personally think that there should be that, like, follow-up conversation?
Well, depending on which substance you're ingesting, but for the legal model, like if you participated with it in Colorado, you would be taking mushrooms. They haven't regulated the access model for the other substances that they decriminalized yet. So it's just mushrooms right now. But, you know, it's sort of a pay-to-play system. It's super expensive. Access is complicated. And then something that I bring up that isn't talked about a lot is the fact that they're trying to solve the access issue because, like, able-bodied wealthy people are accessing this in Colorado. And then they have time to integrate. They have time to go to Ibiza. They have time to chill and, like, be held and pray and, you know, like, you get to, like, see the oneness and see the possibility of God and togetherness. Now, it's not always. There are bad trips. But you get – a lot of people get this oneness and they realize, oh, my gosh, everything's not separate. I should take better care of myself and my family. Like, they have these realizations. Then in one sense, it's like, well, duh. Did we really need to trip to know that? But in the other hand, sometimes it takes that to, like, shake off the conditioning that people are in.
Yeah.
Or the even story just that. They're told.
Yeah.
But to that point, when you switch up your story and you see things differently, and then you go back to a life that can't meet you there, there's a lot of discomfort that can happen.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm concerned about. Is opening people too quickly, opening people to substances that they're not prepared to meet yet because they haven't healed their relationship with food or they haven't worked with just herbal non-psychedelic medicine and there's been like no buildup in consciousness in relationship to the earth and then you're shown everything. And so I just like am concerned about that personally, professionally, neurologically, socially. You know, we aren't taking macrodoses, how people who lived in tribes and were in more harmony with the earth, we're not living in that kind of level of connection with the earth and then opening ourselves up to all this wisdom and knowledge and awareness. We're in like a crumbling paradigm in end-stage capitalism, and we're opening all these people up to the truth while it's all crumbling. That to me, I'm like, oh, should we really be doing this? Is this the path forward? Is this the ascension path? Because it feels dangerous a little bit on some level to me. So I just think that they'll go in recreational drugs. It's like, start slow, you know, go low, start slow. Why aren't we doing that in legal psychedelic treatments? Like, we know how to party.
Yeah, for sure. Why can't we
translate that?
Yeah. And that's harm reduction, right?
Totally.
And yeah, I mean, a lot of people too, if you've never had a psychedelic experience or you've never had a positive psychedelic experience or an extreme psychedelic experience, this can be a very triggering experience. It's not necessarily always going to be positive for everyone. And that's also why I'm such a big believer in supervision and guidance and follow up, you know, and you bring up a really interesting point about just accessibility in general. And I mean, yeah, I can't imagine having one of these extreme exposure situations and then having to like go back to work the next day.
Or go back to an unhealthy relationship or an unsafe home.
Well, I think you also bring up like a kind of greater issue, which is there's only so much healing that can be done in a broken society. That's like a whole other issue. But so tell me more about, like, in your perfect world, what holistic psychedelic treatment looks like.
I love that. I actually, in 2020, when all the psychedelic conferences went online because of COVID, I had a baby at home. I was like, you know, nursing, new mom. And I was like, ooh, I get to go to these conferences and be relevant. I kind of liked it. So when I got involved, I was like, oh my gosh, we need some protocol. So I wrote this, I called it the 3P method because it was the psychedelic preparedness protocol.
Mm.
And it was like a 1 to 3 month introductory period. There were standardized assessments that got like baseline scores. And it was a longitudinal assessments that were like written to do along a period of time up to like 2 years to like track progress in different areas. And so I wanted to look at like what's people's baseline in these critical areas of functioning that let us know about their health and their behavioral health and like a holistic picture of who they are. And then track with behavioral therapy and microdosing, are we making improvement? Because ultimately your choices, your daily choices, your daily rituals, your behaviors, that is what's wiring in your brain. That is what's showing up in your behavior. That is what's showing up in your regulation. These sentinel events, these peak experiences, yeah, they do have value, but they don't do the work and they don't create the lasting benefit that these people are looking for from the peak experience. You actually have to change your patterns. You actually have to show up in new ways with loving awareness and compassion over judgment and face yourself and change your patterns and not look for outside saviors and not get dependent on substances and let these substances are amplifiers. They're going to amplify what you do. You're ultimately causing the change. But if done wisely and intentionally and with respect and guidance and support, these substances can expedite changes in your brain that lead to new behaviors that let you get out of the cycles that no longer serve you. So I hold great reverence for these substances. It's not that they're good or bad. It's that they're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve to be handled with care. And we deserve to keep this conversation open as we very quickly bring these substances into the legal access model in our state and take really good care of our people and just like keep the conversation open that we haven't figured it out yet, but we're trying and we're doing our best. And I think if we all stay flexible and accountable, that we'll create something really special and a potentially like new healthcare model, you know, overall in Colorado from this psychedelic access.
Well, and that's the only way things change, right? Is by dedicated and passionate people fighting for that change. And I think when I think about microdosing and like what I have seen anecdotally in my personal life is people who are maybe, I don't know, there's a lot of different models, right? But one of the things that came to mind when you were saying that is people who are microdosing every day or very frequently, which is one hand confusing to me because the body builds tolerance to hallucinogenic
drugs. Yeah, I don't believe in that. Right? I think it's every other day based on biology and knowing, and it shouldn't be every day. I learned I was on the Psychedelic Medical Association and I went to seminars and was learning about the latest evidence-based practice. And it can affect your valves and your heart if you take them every single day.
Oh,
like
interesting.
The receptor it sits in also affects the valves in the heart and it can make them loose. And so that's another reason, like you don't want to microdose every day or do a 5 and in a row.
Right.
And you want integration days, like you want to stimulate the openness of the dendrites, which are the ends of the neurons that do the connections that are your behavior. You know, like if you open those up, then like let it solidify a day. Like don't just keep exciting them, you know, like day on day off is right. What I teach based on those two things about the valves and thinking about like actually letting the new wiring sink in instead of just like blasting it open, and then not actually making the connections.
Yeah. And that's, I like the approach that you're talking about where it's more of a way to introduce and integrate somebody to the treatment. And I think that, yeah, that model of taking it every day or whatever, or basically what made me think of it is you said something about, you know, becoming reliant on substances or external things, right? With any substance, I think, or like therapeutic treatment, it might be something that you have to re-engage with your whole life, but the idea is that you can achieve healing. It's not something that you're going to be like doing every day or necessarily doing all the time, because then you're still just reliant on this external thing.
Right. And you circled back, and that's where, you know, the point of this whole P3 protocol with the microdosing and stuff was to see if the psychedelic trip was still desired or if the person was like, no, I'm actually good. I think I can carry on and don't need it. So where the big dose wasn't the point, it was that people went through the therapy and then got to a, like a 3-month period. And we looked at the scores and had the conversation. Do we think it's safe? And are you ready? And do you want to, you know, do this larger dose, or are you, do you just want to continue with these smaller doses? You know, and then there's some like flexibility around that mind expansion. Cause it might be like, well, I'm getting married. It's not exactly a great time to blow my mind open. like maybe I should just like hold it, you know, hold the line. So then, you know, there would be more flexibility and then it wouldn't be so focused. And then if there is that larger dose, then there's like this 3-month follow-up and we're really focused on those patterns, your behaviors. And that's like a main factor of whether we were successful or not in meeting your goal for like, why are we accessing these states of consciousness? Why are we opening this door? You need a reason. Like, why are you going there? Why do you need this? Why do you feel like you need this? So I think all those things are really important about having like informed consent or informed choice, be part of the process. That's part of the holistic care, is that true informed choice. So there's enough safety and harm reduction education. All of that is part of this like holistic care that I would love to see and that I attempt to provide without, you know, but my medicine is not this, you know, psychedelic large dose model. It's the Lucia light, you know, using that to help with neural rewiring and consciousness and activation. And then all the body work and healing touch that I offer for the somatic piece, you know, in addition to the biofield, you know, electromagnetic field work that we do. So, you know, psychedelics treat certain parts of the nervous system. Body work treats certain parts of the nervous system. Light, altered states of consciousness, breath work. You know, ultimately, there are so many ways to change your mind. And psychedelics should be one of the tools in a very deep toolkit that you are fostering. That's your own individual recipe of like how to show up authentically and deal with the ups and downs of life. Because psychedelics and getting high and these peak experiences, you're still going to have bad days. You're still going to have suffering and things that don't go your way. And that doesn't mean you're wrong or that you're bad or that you're on the wrong path. It's just life. Sometimes you're getting nailed, you know, hammered. And, you know, sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. And you're always learning. And so we learn until we stop breathing. And psychedelics, I hope, will get greater respect, maybe more conservative use, and a lot more talk about altered states of consciousness that don't involve substances, too. Because I think that's what we all want, is a head change. And that's fair. and so let's figure out how to do it in a healthy way and be like moderate and safe with our consumption of substances or people or sex or music or whatever.
Everything in moderation, even moderation, right? And I just want to call out specifically, I mean, breath work. I think the breath is such a key element, and it's something that's always there. And you and I could talk on and on and on about this forever, and we will in our personal time. But I will wind us down here. And I'm clearly a little biased because I love the work that you do. I think it's amazing. The light therapy, the healing touch and body work that you do has changed my life. And I'm always telling people to check you out. So if you want to learn more about Kat and the work that she does, it's currentritual.com. Is that correct?
So I have a few different ways to work with me. I have a home program, which is like a self-guided journey where I have video and audio lessons that are 3 to 15 minutes long. And that's to support that daily ritual that I'm talking about, like the accountability piece. If you're like, well, I don't know where to start, there's the video and audio lessons, and you participate in the program, and it helps you with mindfulness being part of your daily ritual and daily life. And it's really practical. And I tried to keep it like non-denominational and basic scientific language and like fourth grade reading level. And I would love like, you know, translating into all languages, which I think phones do now, which I'm like, yay.
Yeah.
Now the teaching is going to be in all the languages.
Oh, amazing.
Great. That was like a dream at the beginning, but that's currentritual.com. Then you can schedule an appointment with me. There's like a book with Kat linked through there, or you can like Google Current Ritual schedule. And I do one-on-one sessions at an office. And then there's the Current Ritual podcast, which you can find on KD&K and Spotify and Apple Music. And then I help throw free events for town. So come and participate at one of the events sometime. But yeah, if you're thinking of microdosing or self-treating, you do really need that guidance and support. And since the system didn't create it, I created Current Ritual so that people could have basic in-home therapy at their fingertips, guidance, support, and sort of that backup in a, you know, in a system, a budding system that just isn't and can't provide that care yet. So it's my gift to you guys, currentritual.com. Check it out. There's a free week trial when you register.
Oh, cool.
So you can like decide. It's like I tried to make it as safe as possible. Like it's the safest online environment. There's no pop-ups. There's but so that's it. So I really appreciate you having me on the show and highlighting my work and believing in me. And I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, you are such an amazing human being and guiding light in our community. And yeah, please check out the Current Ritual Public Affairs Show, first Wednesdays at 4:30, and all the amazing work that Kat does out in the community. Yeah, come check out the summer music series. The next one is this Sunday, the 19th. Yep. So yeah, just really grateful for you coming on and sharing your wisdom and expertise with us. Just a couple quick plugs before we close out today. Hierarchy's harm reduction services are closed this week for staff training, except for Rifle. We will be at the Rifle Library Wednesday the 15th from 4 to 6. Our Roaring Forks Valley services will be back next week from Aspen to Glenwood. And our Leadville, Eagle, and Summit County services will be back the week of the 27th. As always, you can reach out to me at mugsy@hierarchiesharmreduction.com if you have more questions or want to chat or want to be on the show, especially if you have different opinions than me. The show will be changing format a little bit, and I would love to talk to more people who think very differently. Kat and I think similarly, but we don't
always... Let's find something to argue about.
Yeah, I feel like, well, you know, I'm a macro dose believer, and I appreciate this.
We should have a follow-up.
Yeah, we should talk more. Check out Current Ritual. Check out Hierarchy's Harm Reduction. And as always, huge thank you to Katie and Kay. You can listen to past episodes of all of our public affairs show at katieandkay.org, and you can click the donate button in the corner to support community radio. All right, love you guys. And then I'm going to make you go out on my tagline. I don't know if you know it, but do you know that you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean?
Perfection. Thank you so much, Kat. Love you. And I hope everyone has a great Monday.
Because we are living in a chemical world, and I'm just a chemical girl. You know, we are living in a chemical world, and I am just a chemical.